This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There are certain people that are synonymous with excellence. They're always interesting to study as to how they get there. Steve Paulson certainly qualifies because he is excellence. That defines how he has done his job as the girls' tennis coach at Edina. He's retiring this year after putting together a state championship factory out there. Steve's been the architect of much of it, and he joins us now. First of all, congratulations on another one, Steve.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a great, fun year again. So we're excited about it.
Take me back to when you first got the job at Edina. Were you an assistant coach before? How'd you land the job?
Well, I was coaching the boys. I had the boys team from my first 5 years, and during that time, I was approached. The coach actually resigned a couple weeks into the season, so. I kind of made room in my schedule along with my brother-in-law, Dan James, who was a teaching pro at the time, and we kind of pieced it together that first year. And I've been there ever since. I think that was 1992.
And so were you coaching boys and girls?
Yeah, so I coached the boys in the spring of 92, and then the start of the girls in the fall of 92, and then I subsequently resigned for the boys. I worked at a country club, and it was getting more and more difficult for the boys. So,
sure.
92 was my last year with the boys.
Yeah, fall season's easier for a country club, right?
Exactly right. Yep, where it's kind of the startup time for the country clubs in the spring. So, I had to stop doing that.
I always ask this question to those that have coached both: is there a big difference between coaching the boys and the girls?
Yes, yes. I know. I mean, the boys literally want to strap it on and just go play. And there's a lot of other things that go on with the girls' season, which is great. I thoroughly enjoyed that throughout the years.
But it's just different.
It is. Yeah. It is different. They a little more emotional, a lot more emotional.
You're talking to the father of a daughter who competes in sports, so say no more. I understand the whole thing. I get it.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. The teaching of tennis in Minnesota, and I guess anywhere, but it's such a year-round sport if you want in terms of club and being able in lessons and access to. Is that, as much as anything, the key is you have to have kids that will compete year-round?
Absolutely. It's the kids that I have, along with many other schools in the area, they play many times during the week, 2, 3, 4 up and more times per week, play tournaments, and they put in a lot of time and effort into their tennis, and I certainly benefit from that.
And when you're coaching at the country club, do you coach some of the same kids that you coach during the season?
You know, I do sometimes. I can get a waiver. The high school league prohibits us from doing that most months, but in the summer we can get a waiver. So I do hit with the kids for a few weeks in the summer.
Because so. that's changed a little, hasn't it? Because I think in basketball and stuff, basketball coaches can now coach their kids in certain summer tournaments, and certainly in football they can with 7-on-7 and different things.
Yeah, so in the summer, like I said, in the summer, but not – it's really June and July that,
yep.
that I can get waivers, with the exception of the July 4th week. So that's always fun to help them during the summer months.
One of the things that people don't see, and myself included, is we see you winning state championships. They have a state championship team year after year. There's a lot of internal competition, and that competition, you know, it all looks good. We look at you on the podium and you've got the gold and all that stuff, but getting there is, you know, generally speaking, you'll know who your number one player is and then two maybe. And, you know, in different years, it can become very complicated and gray area as to who's all going to be on the varsity team, make a doubles or a singles competition by the time you get two sections. Do you play it off literally, or what kind of a protocol do you use to try to keep it fair?
At the beginning of the season, we do about a week of challenges, if need be. Certainly for the top singles positions, we do that. But over the years, the girls have really kind of bought into my philosophy of you know, I'm really going to put the players in a position where the team's going to do the best. And sometimes it could be a second or third singles player, second or third best player playing doubles. In this case, Jessica Ip this year played two singles, my second best player a lot of the year, and played first doubles in the championship match. So they are very much accepting their role on the team. That really benefits us greatly.
Do most kids that play at Edina tennis, are they thinking about playing college tennis?
You know, you'd be surprised. There are not very many D1 players in the state, mm-hmm. And even in the state, much less our team.
Yeah.
But we do have a fair amount that either play Division III and or club tennis, some Division II. But there's a fair amount, yeah, that move on to play in college.
Yeah, but you just look at the University of Minnesota. I mean, they're internationally recruiting, right? So if you assume they're going to lock up their home base first, you're competing against the world basically to get one of those spots, right?
Yeah, that's a really hard one for me, because and the international players are very good players and they fill a high percentage of the college teams, and in saying that, it really taking away, you know, scholarship opportunities for the USA kids,
yep.
If you will, and you look at even this year, Nicole Copeland, my number one player, has won the state championship the last couple of years. You know, she and actually the last few years, the state champion, Kaylin Merzbacher, ended up playing at the U. She played a little lower to begin with and had a great career there, but it took her a while to get into that lineup. So it's a big challenge with the talent of some of the international players, for sure.
So at what point did you know this would be your last year?
I've been thinking about it for the last maybe 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And there's never a good break. There's never a good time to do it. But Nicole, my number one player, had been with me for 6 years. My other two captains, Shailene Rieger and Jessica Ip, have been with me for 5 years, and their sisters were with me for 4 or 5 years. So it's been a long, wonderful time with those three. I've got a bunch of juniors coming up, which I'm sorry to leave them now, but they're really not a good time. But I thought the time is now. So, yeah, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years.
Well, is it hard, though, to say goodbye to something that you become that attached to?
It was unbelievably hard. I was pretty emotional. I talked to my athletic director, say, on a Friday, I think it was, and the following Monday I told them. And I told the captains first, and it was very emotional for me, because I've known them for a lot. Shailene Rieger, I think I've known her since she was three. Her sister played, and she's been on the court, and both Nicole and Jessica, known them for a long time. So yeah, it was extremely difficult.
But I would think when you make that decision, I would think you don't realize how big a part of it it is until you, it's kind of like you open a vault, because all that stuff kind of gets compressed down, and you don't realize what a big part of your life it is until you say, this is it.
You know, it truly has been overwhelming to hear from many people, and I've tried to stay on course as far as our team and getting the lineups and trying to get our team ready. And yesterday it really started to hit me with all that's been involved with over the 28 years and all the people. It's been so cool to hear from everybody else, from former players and parents, and it's really been overwhelming, but I love it. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I would imagine the pictures and the memories just come flowing, huh?
They do, and I've seen many throwback pictures.
Yeah,
back when I had hair and yeah, a few other things, but it's fun to hear from those people. I've had great conversations with players from yesteryear, and I think more to come. So it's great memories, certainly.
I don't know. Have they named your replacement?
No, not yet.
Okay, forgetting who it is, what advice would you give them based on what you've seen?
Be open and honest with the kids.
Even the tough stuff, huh?
Absolutely, open lines of communication. Parents are. I mean, the parents are. get a bad rap sometimes, but they are wonderful. They are so supportive of their kids, but you know, really try to understand what they're going through. I mean, it's a different world now with social media really try to communicate with each of the players on a one-on-one and understand their needs, certainly.
Yeah, because each person and each parent sees it through that kid's eyes.
Yeah, but everybody has different needs too, and different strengths and weaknesses, and to understand those and putting the players in the best position for each player to succeed is paramount as far as a coach goes. I think that's sometimes difficult. A lot of coaches want to play the cookie cutter role where they're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's different.
I gotta say something on that, along those lines. The same is true in education. I think we're starting to learn that every kid learns different.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're finally starting to figure it out. And as much as, you know, the easy way is just to teach them the 3 hours whatever way we want. And what we're finding is, and that's why there's been so much room for other schools, is my kid learns at a different pace than your kid, and my kid enjoys math but doesn't enjoy English, or vice versa. And it doesn't mean that one's dumber or less passionate than the other. It's just that, and I know that I don't mean to put the onus on education, because I think it's really hard to do this. But you know, trying to figure out what makes each kid tick is almost got to be the goal. And we do it in sports probably better than we do in the classroom, because we get to know the kids better.
Yeah, I've had many conversations with my wife. My wife's a teacher, a wonderful one at that, and she teaches elementary school, and we've had great conversations, because that's exactly right. It's trying to find different ways for different kids to learn, and they learn at different rates, and understanding the kids is what it's all about. So you can parlay the right information, the right teaching technique for that.
Yeah, because I think the worst thing in the world is you lose a kid because they become disinterested, because they don't think they're smart, and they don't realize that they've got this tremendous potential and gift that maybe nobody's unveiled to them yet.
Yep. Yeah, I know Jody, my wife, works really hard at that, trying to get them to play their strengths, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's easy for me to say from 900 feet. It's just, you know, it's a simple observation. What do you think is the most important ingredient to being a great tennis coach?
That's a tough one. I know that that's a tough one. Being well, open and honest with the kids, and I guess accepting the players that they are. Putting them in a position to succeed. I hate to keep going back to that.
You know, but what's funny when you say all those things is that that's not one X or O there. That's not about backhand. That's not about forehand. It's about things outside of what we would think are the teaching tools that you'd use to win, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the X's and O's, truly, you know, some players like to be aggressive, and just personality wise. They're going to want to come forward and play a little bit more offense and come to the net and play quicker points. There are others that want to sit back and play longer points, and trying to teach that and trying to let them do their thing to their maximum ability is what it's all about.
Steve, we appreciate it very much. I appreciate all the time over the years that you and I bump into each other and see you, you know, either at the health club or doing a story with you, etc. Nothing but the best, but congratulations on just an unbelievable career and all the people that you influenced along the way.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We really appreciate all that you do for our team and tennis, but high school sports in general. We can't thank you enough. So thanks for having me on.
You bet. Steve Paulson, boy, Hall of Famer. That's pretty rare air that he lives in there, coaching the Edina tennis team and all that goes with it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.